All right, good morning, everybody. It is good to be back in Culpeper. Very good to be here. We are in Culpeper, aren't we? Just checking. I've been traveling a lot, so I never know where I am half the time. Very good. So I'm here with my wife and son, Caleb. You can probably hear Caleb out there in the lobby. We're getting the Parent of the Year awards. We woke up this morning, forgot to feed him breakfast, and on the way here decided to stop at Dunkin' Donuts and gave him half a donut, and that's the result. He's very excited to be here, so we're going to keep him over there. Otherwise, he'd be up here with me dancing. So anyway, that's the way it goes. Pastor Tom, I got a great idea for the creative, you know, thing you're just talking about. So I used to work for the Salvation Army. And so I got my degree in trombone playing. I may have mentioned that before. So if you want me to come back, my trombone, and we'll take the piccolo and we'll go out together and we'll do carols, and I'd be happy to do that. That'd be quite an interesting thing. So, but anyway, in the old days, I say the old days when I was a kid, we used to go from street to street and house to house. We used to play Christmas carols. The only problem was it was so dark in England, you had to go to one lamppost and the next lamppost because you couldn't read the music or you couldn't see where you were. So now we have cell phones. We can just put the light on. Yeah, that's awesome. So anyway, if you need me, I'll get my trombone out and we'll come on down. It'll be a good time. All right, so today we're going to be looking at Matthew 18. So if you have your Bibles, we'd like to turn to Matthew 18. We'll be starting from verse 21, and we'll be looking at the parable of the unforgiving servant. And so I'll just share with you a quick story as you're trying to find that passage right there. So I am a huge football fan. And when I say football, I mean the real football. I don't know if any of you... Oh, I'm in trouble now. I don't know if any of you have been watching the World Cup the last couple of weeks. Oh, yeah? Oh, good job. You may have seen a commercial with David Beckham and some other guy who I don't know. Yeah, Peyton Manning, I think his name is. Who's that guy? I have no idea. They're talking about, is it football? Is it soccer? Well, it's football, so I just want to put that to rest. But anyway, I've been watching the World Cup, and when I saw us draw, England draw the USA in the same group, I was like, oh, we're in trouble now. This is, which way do I go here, you know, because I'm an American citizen, but I'm also British. I don't know what to do. So I'm actually kind of grateful we drew 0-0. There were no goals, and it looks like hopefully we're both going to go through. So anyway, I'm a big football fan. And so when I was younger, I used to play a lot of football. And so there was one game I was playing in, and it was like a semi-final of a game. And we were doing pretty good. We were winning 1-0. And then one of my teammates got himself a red card, which means basically you're going to lose the game, because when you've got one less man, it's really hard to win a game. And so we ended up losing 3-1. And so at the end, we went over to him and said, oh, it's okay, we forgive you, everything's going to be fine, you know, we got another game, got another tournament coming up later, you know, let's just get together, let's just bring some camaraderie together, and let's just forgive, you know, and that's what we did. We forgave him, we're like, it's okay, next game's coming up, everything's going to be so much better. Anyway, so a few weeks later, it was another game, and we were in the semi-final of another tournament, and it went to penalty kicks. And so penalty kicks for English people don't go too well. In most major tournaments, we usually lose to the Germans. And so I did when I, so it came up to my, I think it was like 4-0 in penalties. And so if I miss this penalty, we are out the tournament. And so I was a little nervous because at that point, my record for scoring penalties was like 1 in 12. So it didn't look very good, but I was like, okay, I'll do it. I'll step up. So anyway, I stepped up, kicked the ball as hard as I could, and it almost landed on the road opposite. Way over the bar, almost landed on the moon. I knew there was not a very good chance I was going to score this penalty kick. But anyway, I missed it. We went out of the tournament, and I turned to my teammates thinking they would hug me and everything would be fine, and they were mad. And they, how dare you miss that penalty? We will never forgive you. And I was like, well, wait a minute. We forgave Bert, you know, when he like got sent off with a red card. Why can't you forgive me? No, you can't lose that. And anyway, it was terrible. I just felt so awful because it's like we extended forgiveness to one person, but you wouldn't forgive me. They got over it like 3 years later. So we all moved on eventually. But in this parable they're going to look at, we're going to look at two cases of what it means to forgive and unforgiveness. And so it's very similar to the story that I kind of just shared with you. You know, we forgave someone, but I couldn't be forgiven. Almost the same situation, but slightly different. And so if you'd like to turn to Matthew 18:21, we're going to go to verse 35. Let's read this together and let's go through this. Then Peter came up and said to him, and this is Jesus he's talking to, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. So Peter is wondering about what Jesus is saying in the previous passage. He's talking about if your sin, if your brother sins against you. And so Peter is asking a genuine question. He's like, well, hey, how often do I need to forgive somebody until I should not forgive them anymore? Because there was some idea in Jewish culture that there was a certain amount of times where you could forgive your brother and then that was it. They were done. They were kind of cast out. And so Peter is genuinely asking this question to Jesus. And so that's why he asked seven times, because seven times was the general number in which in Jewish culture, that's it. Once you have got to seven times, that's it. You're done. No more forgiveness. You just end what is going on. But Jesus responds and says to him, no, not seven times, but 77 times. 77 times. That's an awful lot of forgiveness right there. There are some scholars who have looked at this passage and actually think Jesus might be saying seven times 77, which is even greater. What's seven times 77? A lot. Good. That's the answer my youth gave me, apart from one very smart kid who gave me the right answer, and I can't do math. Anyway, that's a lot. It's a lot of sevens, isn't it? So what Christ is saying here basically is like, no, we are to forgive people continuously. Even if we get to the seven times 77 or 77, whatever number you believe, we're not counting and then we stop. No, we should be forgiving one another continuously all the times. It should be unlimited forgiveness. And so that's why Jesus is saying that right here. And so the first point in today's scripture is that we are to understand that we are to forgive and show mercy to each other when we sin. And so we should forgive one another continuously. It should be a continuous time of forgiving when people sin against us. I know that's really hard, but as we read along, we're going to see why it's important for us to forgive one another within Christian community and also outside of Christian community. And so one question as we go through today's scripture, I want you to think and ask yourselves is, are we judging and holding grudges against each other, or are we really, truly forgiving? Because sometimes it's very easy to say, oh, yeah, I forgive you. But deep down inside our heart, we're really holding on to things that we shouldn't. And that leads to anger and bitterness. And we're going to look a little bit more of that and the reason why we should be giving as we move on through today's scripture. And so one of the applications we can take from this small passage right here from verse 21 to 22 is that we should not be judging one another. And if you have been hurt by somebody, forgive them. Attempt to reconcile with them and do not hold a grudge against them. Now, you may, as I'm saying this, you're thinking, well, that should be the whole, that's it. We should be done today. That's it. You know, that's the whole story right in one right there. But we're actually going to continue on and see the result of what happens when unforgiveness does come into our lives. So remember, we should forgive one another continuously. Let's not judge one another. We should show mercy to those who have sinned against us. Forgive them, reconcile them, do not hold a grudge against them. And that's just what Jesus saying we should forgive people continuously. So now we're going to move on to the parable. So in the parable, and as Jesus is saying the parable, first of all, for those of you who maybe we don't know or understand what a parable is, so a parable is a story told to illustrate a truth. It's a teaching aid for Jesus. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus told many parables. He relied heavily on them during his storytelling and his teaching. So this is a different type of teaching method, a teaching aid that Jesus has used to show a heavenly truth. And so in verse 23, it says here, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. So we see this line, the kingdom of heaven is like, in a lot of the parables. So Jesus says, and then he explains what the kingdom of heaven is like based on the parable. And he says the same thing here. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. In this idea here, the king is God and the servants are us. And in verse 24, it says, when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. So there is an idea that 10,000 talents would be 20 years' wages today. That's a lot of money. So if you owed 20 years' wages, I don't think we're going to be able to pay it off. That's an awful, awful lot of money. And since he could not pay, very obvious, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. So if you could not pay your debts back in biblical times, you basically could sell yourself into slavery or you would be forced to sell your family and your children into slavery. It was one of the only ways you could pay your debt off if you did not have the money. Thank goodness that doesn't happen today, that we have to sell our children or our wife. That would be an awful, terrible thing. So this was something that was unfortunately accepted back then. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. So the servant is like, I got to get out of this. I don't want to sell my wife and my children. I will do anything. So he's getting on his knees. He's begging him. He does not want this to happen. And so in verse 27, the king says, and out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. That's amazing. The king is forgiving 20 years worth of debt just because the servant asked him for mercy. Isn't that incredible? Absolutely amazing. The king doesn't even think twice. He just forgives him because he wants to show him pity. He wants to forgive him. And so the second point of today is we should show mercy and grace to one another. We should show mercy and grace to one another. Just like the king, he took pity on the servant. He saw that he was in a bad way. He saw that he did not want to sell all that he owned, his wife, his family, put him into an incredible, horrible situation. He decided to show mercy and act on it by forgiving this huge debt. And so if the king shows pity to those who are below him, because remember, he's a servant, the king was much higher, then we should show mercy to those in our lives who need it. So think about that right now. Who in our lives needs mercy, needs our help, where we can forgive them or forgive a debt that they perhaps owe to us, or maybe we're holding a grudge against them for some reason? Just think about that as we continue to go through this passage, because it seems like through life we've all held grudges. We all may have something against someone else, and this may be a great opportunity as we're going through this passage to think about those people who we need to forgive in some way. And so again, the application is, who in our lives do we need to show mercy to? It may not be someone who we know. It may be someone that comes into our life very suddenly who's asking us, well, I need help. And as Christians, is that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to help those who are in greater need than us. Because when faced with similar situations, we should follow in the same footsteps as the king in forgiving and showing mercy even to those who do not deserve it but need it. Did we deserve God's mercy? No. But do we need it? Yes. We absolutely need God's mercy in our own lives. And God showed mercy to us by sending his son to die for our sins, that if we put our faith and trust in him and believe in him, we will have everlasting life. Yet God did not need to do it because we don't deserve it, but he did. What a great sacrifice that he gave us. And then moving on, we're going to see what the servant, how he responds to being shown pity. And so in verse 28, but when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. Well, that's nice, isn't it? So the man has just been forgiven, and now he's going to get some money that he owes. Is that the right way to respond? You see, 100 denarii was probably about 90 days' wages. So a lot less and a lot significant than the 20 years, but still a significant amount. Does anyone carry around 90 days' wages on them? No, I don't think so. My wallet's not that big enough. And so he has gone out seeking to find what he is owed from somebody else. And not only does he ask him, he chokes him. So he is actually physically assaulting this man, thinking if I choke him like enough, maybe money will fall out of his pockets and I can take his money. Or maybe he'll relent and say, oh yeah, here's 90 days' wages. I just remember it's in my back pocket. No, it's not going to happen. But he's saying, pay what you owe. And so what does his fellow servant do? He falls down and pleads with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Isn't that exactly what he just said in verse 26? So, of course, the result should be the servant will do the same as the king, yeah? No. So, in verse 30, he says he refused. And he went out and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. So now he's put him in debtor's prison, which is a common thing that you could do. You could actually put someone in prison until they had paid or worked off their debt. And so he has completely done the opposite of what the king did by showing him mercy. He is not showing mercy, even though he was shown pity and mercy by the king. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. So now he's been found out already. This was probably like in a public area. Everyone saw what was going on. Everyone had heard that this servant has put his other servant in prison. And so the servants are distressed because they're like, this is not right. You've just been forgiven a debt. So now they're going to go to the king and say, hey, this is what happened. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And so he's saying, basically, I forgave you and you should forgive others as well. And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debts. And now he's reversed course. He's basically said, if you can't forgive others like I forgave you, then this is going to be your punishment. And so Christ ends it by saying, so also my heavenly Father will do every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. That's quite an ending to this passage. Christ is saying, this is a serious thing. When we don't forgive each other, my heavenly Father will not forgive you from your heart. This is pretty serious stuff. So Christ is saying, you better listen to this and you better do what this parable is teaching. This is very, very important. And so the last point today is, when we are shown mercy and grace, just like the king showed mercy and grace, we should do the same to others. When we are shown mercy and grace, we should do the same to others. So just like God showed us mercy and grace when we did not deserve it, which we talked earlier about, we should do the same to others who may not deserve it either. And so it's a hard passage to read, but it should be very simple, yet we really struggle to do that sometimes. We really struggle to forgive others, and I think we forget when we are forgiven as well, because first of all, we have to remember God forgave us, and then other people in our lives I know have forgiven us as well. I know when I was a teenager, I was forgiven an awful lot, and when I was in college, I was forgiven even more, because I was such a sinner, I didn't know God. And I think we have to remember those times when we ourselves were forgiven, that we should pass on that forgiveness to others who need it. And so last application is take a look at your own life right now and see if you have been shown mercy and forgiveness in your life. Just think about that. Any time throughout your life, it could have been recent. Ask yourself, how did it feel? Are you willing to do the same to others? Remember and put ourselves in the situation when we were shown forgiveness and mercy. And remember how that feels, and be ready to show that to others as well. So forgiveness is, it's such an important thing in any type of culture, especially within the Christian culture. And I want to end with, you know, a quick story. So like I said, I mentioned earlier that, you know, I'd worked for the Salvation Army. And I worked for them for 10 years, and suddenly my time with them ended, very, very suddenly. I was told, well, you're no longer needed, thank you for your service, basically there's the door. And I was crushed, I was absolutely devastated, and I was so angry as well, because I'd given so much to this church, this organization, because I loved God and I wanted others to love God, yet within kind of the stroke of a pen, they had suddenly released me and said, you are no longer needed, that's it. And I was just so, so angry, and I became very bitter for the next couple of months. I was holding it inside, and I was so tense, I was so angry, I was taking it out on other people as well. And I was talking bad about them to other people, and I was just getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And then there was one day I was driving in my car, and I just felt God saying to me, you have to forgive them. You have to let go. And I was like, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I hate them. They've done so much wrong to me. They don't deserve it. And as I was thinking, they don't deserve it, I was like, do I deserve it? Do I deserve your grace and your mercy as well? And it was just like I decided at that point, I'd pulled over in my car, I just prayed and I forgave them. And it was like this huge weight had just fallen off me. It was like this tense and this anger and this bitterness that I was holding in. It was just let go. And the really incredible thing is that the word to forgive in the Greek means to let go. It's incredible. It's like God knew it. And so when I taught this story, I think it was about maybe 2 months ago to my youth group, I came to youth group at 6 o'clock, and we end at 9, and I went outside and I found this rock, and I held this rock in my hand for the whole night. And when I preached, I showed them this rock, and they were like, why are you holding this rock? Why have you been holding it all night? And I told them how I'd been holding it, and my arm had been really tense up to that point. I hadn't been able to worship God because I went to raise my hands, and I was like, oh, this is really weird and stuff. I couldn't, like, help, like, put take up and put down the 9 square. I don't know if you know that game. It just held me back so much because I was holding on to something that shouldn't be there. It was completely taken away from my ministry and my teaching and all the things I had been doing that night. It's like I had a disability. I just could not do all the things I wanted to do. But then I just walked over and I showed them and I just went, just let go. And suddenly it was like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. I feel so much lighter. Now I have the use of all of my hands and everything. When we don't forgive, we hold on to this anger and this bitterness that really holds us back. It really holds our ministry back. It holds our Christian witness back. It holds back so much in our life. And that's why we have so... There are other stories in Scripture about forgiveness. This is why this is such an important matter, is that we are to forgive like Christ forgave us so we can forgive others. And so I would really implore you this week, if you want to read this scripture and look up more about forgiveness, if there is something you are holding on to today, if there is someone you have not forgiven, if there is bitterness, if there is anger against other people, I implore you to imagine you have that rock in your hand and open it up and just let it go. You will feel so much better. You will feel so much lighter. And that is what God wants us to do. He wants us to forgive each other within Christian community. So to summarize today, forgive one another. Forgive them. Pray about it. Talk about it. Think about it. But forgive one another. Show grace and mercy to one another. Remember what it feels like to be shown forgiveness and mercy. And not forget to do the same to others, just as God forgave us of our sins by sending his son to die for us. We too should be this example to others. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to forgive others, just like you forgave us for our sins when we have put our faith and trust in you, Lord. And one day we will be with you and have everlasting life. But Lord, I just ask if anybody today is struggling with forgiveness or holding on to something, that I would just ask that they would work through this and they would pray with you and they would take time to really let go of this anger, this bitterness. Nothing comes good of it. It ruins our witness. It ruins our Christian walk. Lord, let's just let things go. It sounds simple, I know, but I just ask that we would take time to really seek you out in this situation, Lord. I know that sometimes family can be difficult. Sometimes there can be family members who cause us strife, who cause us issues, Lord. But sometimes we just have to let go. Forgive them. Forgive those around us. Forgive one another. So let us just take time today to remember that. Thank you, Lord, for this parable, the seriousness of this parable, that we should follow what you have told us, to forgive one another, show grace and mercy to one another, just like you have shown to us. Father, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. God bless you. I hope you have a great rest of your Thanksgiving weekend.